You are listening to BensTorah.com.
The Mishnah says in times, Bishivasar betamuz nishtabru aluchot. In Shivasar betamuz, there were five things that happened. The luchas are broken, ubutala tamid, and korban tamid was bottled. The Rambam holds in the first base of Egdash, they had an interruption with korban tamid during the time. Behuf kiahayir, and Yerushalayim was surrounded. And the Rambam writes also in the Halacha, that's in the second base of Egdash, because the Gemara says in the first base of Egdash, really it was on the 9th. Places says that it was really on the 17th, they made a mistake. But according to the Rambam, that's on the second base of Egdash. Vesorach Apostolmos HaSatoira, and Apostolmos was a Greek, one of the Greek emperors burned the Sefer Torah. The Hemid Tselem Ba'ichal. So Rashi says, is not the Hemid, Behu Amad Tselem Ba'ichal. And King Menashe erected a pagan idol, in the Beis HaMikdash during his time. So these are the five things that happened in Shivasar Betamuz. B'Tisha Be'av, what happened in Tisha Be'av? Nigzar al Avisinu shel kansu la'aretz, meaning there was Exera, that was the Meraglim, that we won't go to Eretz Yisrael. V'chor HaBayis Barishoyna V'Shniyah, and Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, both the first and the second. V'nil Kedah Beitah, and the city of Beitar in the revolution of Bar Kokhba in 135 of the Common Era, that was crushed, that was the crushing of the revolution of Beitar. And that was, as you'll see, the end of the Khurban was 65 years later. And that was happened also in Tisha B'Av, when the Khersha Ha'ir. And Yerushalayim was plowed. In the first Beis HaMikdash, they plowed Yerushalayim, and there was the Beis HaMikdash in the surroundings. Machlokes is showing him if they plowed, actually all of Yerushalayim was plowed, or just the Beis HaMikdash and the surroundings. And the question is, the Mishnah, number one, the Mishnah only brings what happens, the narrative of the song is only Shivasar Betamuz and Tisha B'Av. Meaning we have other fast days, which are the same injunction and the same, they also be Divrei Neviim, and the Mishnah never narrates what, why do we fast? And also interestingly enough, that there are five and five, meaning why there are five ideas in Shivasar Betamuz and five ideas on Tisha B'Av. So Rabbi Yoshi Be'er says something very interesting, and he says that these two tzomot, these two fast days, are not independent. They are part and parcel of the same idea. And you see that in the Medrash. The Medrash says, Makel Shaked Ani Roeh. Yirmiyahu said that I see a Makel Shaked, I see Shkedim coming out. And he says, you know why? Because the Shaked does not take 21 days to ripen. So the Khurban also took 21 days to ripen. So therefore, these 2 days, Shivasar Betamuz and Tisha B'Av, they're not independent. They are part and parcel of one unit. That's the unit of Bein HaMetzorim. Korot Fea Hisigua Bein HaMetzorim. The idea of Bein HaMetzorim precedes the halachas of Bein HaMetzorim. Today, in this period of time, is a period of mourning. But even before, but this period of mourning is on a minhag, it's on a custom. According to Allah, you don't have an obligation to have such a period of mourning. So the period of mourning is, even though you didn't have halachas related to these 3 weeks, these two taniyot are two sides of the same coin. There is something that connects them. And the question, what exactly connects them? How is that connection? And happened to be there were five and five. Meaning just by chance, there were five things on one and five things on the other. Even more, if you look at the halachas, Yoshi Be'er somewhere else says, if you look at the halachas, how Chazal created the halachas in Bein HaMetzorim, they are the halachas of Avelus backwards. Usually the halachas in Avelus, you have Shiva, and then you have Shloishim, and you have Yud Beis Chodesh. The Avelus goes down, and goes down in 3 steps. The Avelus of the 3 weeks, and then of Rosh Chodesh Av, either Rosh Chodesh Av according to the Ashkenazim or the Sfarim, the Shavua Shekal Bo, or Tisha B'Av in itself works backwards. Rabbi Shmuel used to say that if you look at the Avelos of the 3 weeks, the Avelos of the 3 weeks has halacha of Yud Beis Chodesh. And that's why he wanted to say that people who shave every day might be able to shave, because you know that somebody doing Yud Beis Chodesh, there is a halacha of a garu bo chaverov, that if a person has a beard and the beard is somebody of his friends just warns him that he should shave, he's allowed to shave. So the on that Beina Metzorib, on that period, if you do, at since it has a halacha of Yud Beis Chodesh, if it has a halacha of Yud Beis Chodesh, then he should become also exactly the halachas of what applies then. Then you have from Rosh Chodesh on. Rosh Chodesh on is a halacha of Shleishi, the halacha of even cutting your nails. All the halachas that applies to the Shleishi apply from Rosh Chodesh until Tisha B'Av. And Tisha B'Av is a halacha of Shiva, that we are knowing Avelus exactly of an Avelus Chas V'Sholom that somebody did the loss and this is Shiva. So why is the Avelus backwards? Why does the Avelus here start from Yud Beis Chodesh, goes to Shloishim into Shiva, which is exactly the opposite of a regular Avelus that goes from Shiva to Shloishim to Yud Beis Chodesh? Why does it go exactly backwards? And then the Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says like this: if we follow the Eicha, Eicha has the Aleph Beis, the 22 letters of the Aleph Beis is brought. But happens to be that in the first perek, the Aleph Beis is brought in order. If you look in every perek thereafter, the Aleph Beis is out of order. The Pei comes before the Ayin. So the Gemara Sanhedrin of Kuvdala says, why in Eicha the Pei come before the Ayin? Because it's an allusion to the Meraglim. Because they spoke and they said something that they didn't see. In other words, they related a testimony that had nothing to do with what they saw. So since they said something that they didn't see, therefore the pei comes before the ayin. Pei relates to peh, and ayin relates to the ayin. So therefore the peh comes before the ayin. But the question which is obvious is why in the first perek the ayin comes before the pei? According to this, it should have been that always the pei came before the ayin. And if you look at Megillah Secha, the first perek is normal. The aleph comes, ayin comes before the pei. So the Marshal on the place asks it. The Marshal says, no, it had to be in the first perek, regular, because otherwise you would have thought that Eicha had the aleph beis in a different order than we have today. So the first perek tells you, no, the order follows the same order of David HaMelech in Perek Kuf Yutes, that the ayin comes before the pei. Only happens to be that afterwards I will change the pei before the ayin to relay a message. But it's telling you what's the natural order. But still, it's very strange. The first perek is in order and everything else is not. Why is that so? I think to explain all of these questions, I think we have to understand something. The Ramchal writes, and we spoke about it in the earlier Shabbos, that there is such a thing called the Sibois Hamisavchois. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, which is basically a combination between circles and lines. There is a circular logic that the world appears to be, that anybody who lives in this world sees things coming back and forth. They don't appear to be moving on a straight line. Things appear to be confusing and things appear to be constantly changing. People succeed and then people fail. Doesn't appear to be any kind of consistency in our lives. At the same time, there is such a thing as Kav HaYoshev. There is a very clear line. There is a teleology. The world is going towards a goal. So it's circles and lines, and how do they relate to each other? So the Ramchal says in Das Tvunis, and he repeats the same ideas in the Klach, and he says the following: Kadosh Baruch Hu has a master plan, and for that master plan to happen, each one of us has a mission to achieve that master plan. But at every point in time, we have a freedom of choice, and we could make a choice and select how we want to move forward. But dependent on that choice, once we make that choice, everything else will change accordingly. Because the master plan has to be followed. And if we made the wrong choice, now we are going to have to go ahead into a whole new set of challenges to be able to achieve the goal in the master plan. There's always a master plan, and the master plan will move forward. Our choices allow that master plan to go to fruition. A wrong choice forces a whole new set of challenges in order to achieve the exact same thing. In other words, our choices are compounded. Our choices are not independent and separate. Once we make a choice, all of the next challenges will be based upon the choice that we made to achieve that. I think Josh told me, it's a very interesting, that's the GPS. If you ever took a GPS, you have a route to follow. You make the wrong turn, it will give you a crazy route to go back into the same direction. The Derech of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's called the Siboy Samisachos, is exactly this. It's not that we have a set of challenges in life, and we come here and just we check the box every challenge that we do. But in life, the challenges change, compounded on our own challenges. Once you make a choice, your set of opportunities will completely change. So we not only decide, our Bechira is such that not only we make the choice, we create the set of opportunities which will lead to the next choice. And this is the idea of mitzvah, gereres mitzvah. We always think that one mitzvah, gereres mitzvah, the pshat is that you do a mitzvah, now you have some kind of a ruach of spiritual push to do a second mitzvah. But it's not that. According to the Ramchal, it's much deeper. Once I make the right choice, all the other choices will be easier because I'm on a straight path. That path will need to be followed. The question is, how do I get there? Do I get straight or do I get with a million turns? But you know what the problem is? Once we make the turns, the new choices will be that much more difficult. Like the GPS, right? They always say, you take the GPS, the direct route is an hour. You make the wrong turn and you see it goes back to a route, but now the route is an hour and a half. It just changed completely. But not only changes completely, becomes more difficult. You know there are two Yetzirahs that we have. One Yetzirah is the Yetzirah of Avodah Zarah. And that's the Yetzirah of Minus. And there is a Yetzirah of lust, of desire, of Taiva. Chazal say, if you look in Sefer Mishlei is all built on the challenges against a robber and against a promiscuous woman. And that challenge, it's always how to deal with them. Those are the two Yetzirahs. One of them is called the Yetzirah of Avodah Zarah, which is called the Yetzirah of violence. And the other Yetzirah of lust, of desire, of Taiva. But there is a very big difference between the two. The Gemara in Yuma says that Chazal in Second Beis Hamikdash destroyed the Yetzirah of Avodah Zarah. We don't have a Yetzirah for Avodah Zarah. But he tried to do the same with the Yetzirah of Arias, and it did not work. The Gemara said they couldn't do it. The world could not function without the Yetzirah. And what happened? They had to reinstate the Yetzirah of Arias. And the question is why? Why were Chazal able to destroy the Yetzirah of Avodah Zarah and not destroy the Yetzirah of Arias? I heard from Rish Shapira, the truth is, Chazal always bring it down. There is a difference between the Yetzirahs. The Yetzirah of Avodah Zarah is innate with us. Hashem gave us the Yetzirah. So we came with it. Adam HaRishon, that was his challenge. However, the Yetzirah of Taiva, of desire, of lust, we brought onto ourselves when we ate the Yetzirah. Ki Taiva Hu La'inayim. That is a Yetzirah which is man-made. Yetzirah which is man-made, those challenges are much more difficult to destroy because we brought upon ourselves. So the Yetzirah of Arias, which is man-made, could not be destroyed. The Yetzirah of Kas, the Yetzirah of Avodah Zarah, was destroyed because that was a Kodesh Baruch Hu gave to us. So those choices create challenges, that those challenges are that much more difficult, are much more compounded. Because they are man-made. They are not made by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We brought upon ourselves. we have in life a self-reinforcing feedback. The concept is that we do something, once we make a choice. Now HaKadosh Baruch Hu give us the challenge. It's like a game. It's like a ping-pong game. Once you serve, you according to your serve, that's how you're going to return the ball back. So it's a conversation. Our challenges, our lives, change and are shaped by every step. That's why every step is so important, because it's not important locally for that own choice, but to the entire structure of the next steps, which will be a function of the first step. In essence, we create our own luck, our own mazel, our own challenge created by us. By one little decision, it can change everything else afterwards. The Maharal says in Perek Ches, Sefer HaNetzach, Yudzayin Betamuz are called the beginning of the Churban. Tisha B'Av, the day of the day, is the end of the Churban. The Churban was done as a start and as an end. The beginning and the conclusion. Today is the conclusion. And the Maharal goes ahead to say that each and every step of the five things that happened in Tisha B'Av could have been easily reversed. Look at the case of Mishnah. Nishtavu aluchos was possible a different set of luchos. Butal atomid. The atomid was interrupted, could easily have been reinstated. The wall was broken. We could have redone the wall. Sarav apostomus is a Torah. Apostomus burned the Torah. Okay, could be according to Rishon in the Torah of Ezra. We could have gotten another one. So every single thing is a start and Tisha B'Av is an end. What does that mean? That Yuzayin Betamuz is the beginning and Tisha B'Av is the end. But if we look at the source of these 2 days, it's what? It's Nishtav Ruach, is the Chet HaEgel and the Chet HaMeraglim. Chet HaEgel and Chet HaMeraglim are in essence this idea. Chet HaEgel and Chet HaMeraglim are connected on the Etzem essence. The Pasuk says, Ubeyom Pokdi, Upokaditi Avonoisecha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, the day that I'll pay you for your tuchatoyim. So says Rashi, in the day when Hashem went ahead and punished us for the Meraglim, He punished us also for Chet HaEgel. Chet HaEgel, even though it was before and we got forgiven, once we had Chet HaMeraglim, Chet HaEgel came back. Why did Chet HaEgel come back when we made Chet HaMeraglim? But the idea is very simple. Chet HaMeraglim would never have been possible if not for Chet HaEgel. Chet HaEgel is what created the challenge of Chet HaMeraglim. What is Chet HaEgel? Chet HaEgel was that we lived in a world of clarity, of Luchos HaRishonos. That the world was very clear and very connected. The world had rectified Chet HaTzadas. The idea of the HaEgel was that we wanted an intermediary. We wanted to live in the world of physical, know that there is a world of spiritual, and have something to connect through. Before Chet HaEgel, the world of spiritual and the world of physical completely connected. That's Luchos HaRishonos. What's the difference between Luchos HaRishonos and Luchos HaShniyos? Luchos HaRishonos, the writing was part of the Luchos. It was engraved, as we always spoke, from side to side. What does that mean? That the writing and the material were the same. Something which is engraved is not only that the writing is not different than the tablets, but the tablets create the writing. We wanted in the world to be separate, that we live in the world of physical and the world of spiritual out there, and we'll make the connection ourselves. Thank you very much. We don't want clarity. We want the world of physical, and that's why the second Luchos, the writing and the Luchos were separate. They were joined together, but they were not the same. We created in the world of Nishtavru HaLuchos. Once the Luchos are broken, and we created the world that the physical is completely separate from the spiritual, then we created a monster for ourselves. Because once you have Luchos HaShniyos, Chet HaMeraglim is possible. As long as we lived in the world of Luchos HaRishonos, we would never have a challenge of Chet HaMeraglim. Chet HaMeraglim would not be possible. So if we look at Shiva Sarbetamus, Shiva Sarbetamus is creating the challenge that destroyed us. We broke the Luchos in Shiva Sar Betamuz, and with that we created the next step, which is a challenge that we could not withstand, and we fell to it. And that is the Chet HaMeraglim. Shiva Sar Betamuz is this duality. Shiva Sar Betamuz is making the choice and creating a path, which is reversible. We could go ahead and withstand the challenge. But then comes a Tisha B'Av and we fail the challenge, then we are lost. If we look, this is exactly what the five and five. Chazal say that the Asara Mamoras, which are called Esel Spheres, they are divided in five when they interrelate to each other. The five and five is when the Bria is half us and half him. The Luchos were five in Odom L'Chaveroi and five in Odom L'Mokin. When the spheres that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created interrelate to each other, that they feed each other, that they talk to each other, that they reinforce each other, they're set to five. That's why we have two hands. Two hands working tandem. Shiva Sar Betamuz is us creating a choice for ourselves, and then we create the challenge, and then we fail the challenge. It's the idea that our choices are a conversation between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Our conversations create a new Hanhog of Hashem. And that's the idea why they are five and five. If you look at Nishtabru Haluchos, and you look at Chet HaMeraglim, Nishtabru Haluchos created Chet HaMeraglim. They allow that to happen. And that's our lives. If you look at the five, this is exactly it. Hu amad butal hatomid, the korban hatomid was bottom on the first Beis HaMikdash. That's the beginning of the korban. It doesn't become a real korban until the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed. Hu kia hayir, the city is surrounded, so Yerushalayim is captured. That's not an end. That could have gone in so many ways possible. But because it was there, it brought to the korban. On Huv Ke'ayir, I won't go into all the five, but in Huv Ke'ayir, look at how it was. Our Sinas Chinam brought in Yerushalayim was brought under siege. Right? And if you look at the siege could have stayed. We had enough. Sinas Chinam brought the siege. If you look at the Gemara in Gittin, because of Kamtzeh Bar Kamtzeh brought the siege. But the siege only brought the destruction, because the siege of Yerushalayim could have stayed. If you look at Yerushalayim in the story, and Josephus says the same thing. We didn't have to destroy the Beis HaMikdash after it was under siege. And after the city was captured, Yerushalayim, the Beis HaMikdash could have stayed. If we would have gone ahead and organized between ourselves and brought to the king, or not to the king, but to the Caesar at that time, the prophet of Rome, that would have been his subjects, and we were going ahead and not make war, wage war against them, we could have kept Beis HaMikdash. But there was so much infighting among us with the Biryonim, the zealots that wanted to create a war, that the same Sinas Chinam that brought the siege is the same Sinas Chinam that took the siege to the Gemara. So it's the same idea. Our Sinas Chinam brought the siege, and that siege now, if we had that Sinas Chinam, would destroy the Beis HaMikdash. And that is literally what happened. And if you go into each and every one, it's the same. Sorof Apostolmos is a Torah. Sabstomus brought and he burned the Sefer Torah of Ezra. That was our connection to Torah Shemichsav. What was the end of this story? Is Nilke the Beitar. You know what the Hashivus of Beitar was, Rabbi Yisai? Beitar was the time we got captured in Yerushalayim, the Churban was in the year 70. But the Romans allowed us to live. However, in the year 135, we thought, probably because the proximity is 70 years, we thought the first Beis HaMikdash was 70 years, so the second Beis HaMikdash should be 70 years also. So we decided to rebel against the Romans. And that's the rebellion of Bar Kokhba. And Bar Kokhba was thought by Rabbi Akiva to be Mashiach. He thought that he was evidencing and witnessing Mashiach. And not only Mashiach didn't come, we got crushed. Beitar, which was the strength of the GP, was completely wiped out. And all the terrible and terrible and terrible persecutions start from then. That's the Bekiva died of Kiddush Hashem. All our hopes were dead. So the burning of the Torah, when Torah gets burned, we had the choice. That wasn't the final decision. But if we continued in the same path, it goes to the decision that that was the dimming and the end of the hope. and you see the same thing. Who am I tzelem ba'eichal? Putting a tzelem in the eichal violates what the eichal is all about. The eichal is all about the unity of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The second report, we put it a pagan idol. And Chazal said there were two idols. We brought duality in the place of unity. You know what was the final outcome of that? That Yerushalayim was obliterated. In the first Beis Hamikdash, Yerushalayim was not destroyed, was not conquered. It was completely wiped out. This is the idea. We make a choice. Once we make a choice, now we are getting a new challenge. If we fail on the challenge that we ourselves created, on that there's no tikkun. A challenge of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is something. But if we fail in our own challenge that we created, and we wanted for it, and we hoped it, and we created, that challenge has no hope. But I think that in the Etzem narrative of those five things, I think it's important to see also a little nechama that there is. Beis HaMikdash HaRishon and Beis HaMikdash HaSheni are two ideas of Tisha B'Av. If you look at the end of the Mishnah, the end of the Mishnah says the Churban is only step one. Realize that the Churban was only step one. The Mishnah tells you there was a step two in the Churban. First, the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. What was the step two in the first Beis HaMikdash? Nechrusha Ha'ir. The Yerushalayim, after Gedalia. If anybody knows the story, it's an amazing story, the first Beis HaMikdash. We created our own monster because we were able to stay in Yerushalayim. I mean, they conquered Yerushalayim. Why should they destroy? Did you ever see you conquer a city and you obliterate it? Usually you conquer and you turn it into a colony and you actually use it. As the soul was telling us, after the Churban Bais Rishon, we had a Yishuv, we had a Jewish population in Eretz Yisrael, but there was the killing by us of Gedalia, and because of that, the Babylonians decided to expel the entire community and they turned Yerushalayim into a plowed city. They plowed, that's why it's so difficult, by the way, to find any remnants of the first Beis HaMikdash, because Yerushalayim was plowed. They wanted to obliterate and to forget from us any remembrance and anything of the first Beis HaMikdash. So it's an unbelievable thing. That's the end of the Churban. That not only we lost the Beis HaMikdash, we lost all hope, we lost all Zecher. There was not even something, only the Kohel Maravi stayed of this entire structure. So there was no zecher to it. That's the end of the Churban. Churban HaSheni was the exact same thing. Churban HaSheni, there was the Churban in year 70, but we still had hope that this was only temporary. The crushing of Beitar that happened on this day was also the end of the hope. They obliterated the hope. So I always say what happened in Beis HaMikdash HaRishon of Nechrusha Ha'ir, that the city became completely plowed, that you couldn't even see there was a Beis HaMikdash there. There was not even a remnant. The lack and the loss of remnant in the second Beis HaMikdash was the crushing of Beitar. But because what is Beis HaMikdash HaRishon is Keneged Torah Shebichsav, visually we lost the Beis HaMikdash, any remnant. That's Nechrusha Ha'ir. In the second Beis HaMikdash, however, what we lost is not the physical remnants, what we lost was the spiritual hope. But there is a big difference between the two. You know what the difference between the two is? Rav Shlomo Fischer always says, in the Beis HaMikdash HaRishon, after the Churban, after Nechrusha Ha'ir, that's it, the first Beis HaMikdash is completely gone. There is no Kedusha. Kedusha is showing that we pass in Kitcha L'Shaita V'lo Kitcha L'Sidlovi, the Kedusha is gone. There was no building, there was no remembrance. If you went to Eretz Yisrael, you didn't even realize there was a Beis HaMikdash. The second Beis HaMikdash, however, there was never a situation that there was no community left in Eretz Yisrael. There were Jewish communities there from after the Churban on. We just lost the spiritual hope. So there was always something out there. Chazal say that we make the Brocha of a Tov V'Ameitiv. When we make Birkas Hamazon, we say a Tov V'Ameitiv. Why do we say Hatov V'Ameitiv? So Chazal say it's because of Beitar. Hatoiv, because there were many, many killings in Beitar, and people were left by the Romans hanging there, and we were able to come to them to bury them much later. So Hatoiv means that the bodies did not decompose, and Hameitiv, that we were allowed and able to bury them. So we say Hatov V'Ameitiv. for 2,000 years afterwards. For what? For the after Beitar was destroyed, that were able to bury the people. The soldiers were able to bury them. And the Tov Amiti Hatoy, that they didn't decompose. And Amiti, that were able to bury them. You tell me that this, you make a Tov Amiti on this? Meaning, what's the shot? For 2,000 years? They were dead. They were crushed. They lost. But if you look at it, this is the idea of Isai. What was Beitar? Why is Beitar so important for us? If you realize that there were other cities in the Eretz Yisrael that they got killed, and many people got killed, and they were crushed also. Tur Malkeh, etc. What's Beitar? Beitar was the Jewish hope. Was the hope that the Jewish life will continue, that we have something to go forward. When it was crushed, it was the end. So we thought that was it. But when the dead people, there was still Ashgoch in the dead bodies, they didn't decompose, that we could bury them, the hope didn't die. Hatoy ve'amitiv is that even though the hope was crushed, but it didn't die. There was still a remnant, because the bodies of the soldiers didn't decompose and they were able to be buried. So this is the idea that there is at least a hope. And that is the hope that the second Beis Hamikdash, we believe that the third Beis Hamikdash is not something new. It's the rebuilding of the second. The second Beis Hamikdash was never totally destroyed. And you know what is the list of the drop of destruction that was not destroyed? That the bodies of Beitar didn't decompose and they were able to be back in the ground and they'll come coming again. So Avoisa, once you see this, it's something amazing. For sure the Avelus of Tisha B'Av is an Avelus backwards. It's Yubeis Chodesh Shloshim Etem Shiva. Because the Avelus is a crescendo. Because Tisha B'Av was created by ourselves by compounding little by little steps. Missteps one after the other created Tisha B'Av. So for sure it's a crescendo. But for sure there's no Avelus after Tisha B'Av. You know why there's no Avelus after Tisha B'Av? Because after Tisha B'Av, the end is not there. It's not there. Tisha B'Av is not a death. It's a process of death that didn't culminate with death. It's a process of death that we almost died. You know where we didn't die? By the bodies of Beitar that they were buried. And there was Hashgocha left on them. It means that Beis Hamikdash was not totally destroyed. By the way, that's why the Brocha after of Nirushalayim Mirakodesh Bimera Vyomeinu is a Hatov Ve'amiti Bondarugim Beitar. So there's no Avelus afterwards. It's a process of death. And therefore it goes from Yubis Chodesh to Shloshim to Shiva, because we are building death up to when we destroy ourselves. We created our own Yetzer Hara that destroyed us. But that destruction is not a final destruction. That destruction, and that's the whole idea of Tisha B'Av, that there is something that was left and that will come back to us. I think this idea of realizing how the second Beis Hamikdash was never destroyed, the Harugei Beitar, I think this goes into something. You know the Gemaras I have in my house, a little picture of the Gemara in Daf, in the last Daf in Chetzkas Abatim. The last Daf in the third Perek, in Bava Basra, talks about all the things that we do to remind ourselves of the Beis Hamikdash. Meaning there are many halachas, one of them you have to leave a space in your house, there are many halachas. And all of these halachas are in the last daf of Chazkas Abatim, the third parak in Bava Basra. Why these halachas are in the third parak of Bava Basra? I mean, what do they have to do with Bava Basra? But the idea is very simple. Because what is the halach of Chazkas Abatim in Bava Basra? The halach of Chazkas Abatim in Bava Basra is very simple. The halacha is, if you have your house and somebody takes adverse possession, somebody takes your house and lives in your house, and you don't scream and you don't complain, after 3 years, it's not yours. You are acknowledging that it belongs to him. It's called adverse possession. A little different than American adverse possession. But the idea is that the fact that you did not complain, that you didn't do a machor, it means that you acquiesced that somebody took your house. In the Beis Hamikdash was taken away from us. We have going living there. This thing was taken away. So today we have a mask in the Mokom Hamikdash. If we acquiesce, if it's a locha that Chas V'Sholom is dead, it's a sign that's adverse possession, it belongs to them. So the halachos of Zecher Lachurbo Motisha B'Av is for us to be moiche, to say that that doesn't belong to them. That as much, this is not Misa that was forgotten from us. We are making a macho. We are evidencing our ownership that was never taken from us. That this is not adverse possession they couldn't take away from us. Therefore, the halachos of Zecher LaChurban is in the end of Cheskes Abatim. Because that is our way of avoiding somebody else to have Cheskes Abatim. Somebody else should not have a chazok in our Beis Hamikdash. And the reason is because it was never that. The fact that our Gei Beitar, what Nitnu Likvura, is a toy ve'ameiti. HaKadosh Baruch Hu still is with us. But how do we get back? And I think the message of Shiva Samet Tavos in Tisha B'Av is exactly that. You know how we go back? We go back by doing one step at a time. The same way the Churban comes, one step at a time, that we make a misstep, we create our own monster that destroys us. Mida Toiv is exactly the opposite. That one little right choice creates an entire feedback that is almost impossible to stop. Right decisions are made in the same way as wrong decisions. The same way wrong decisions, when you have a wrong turn in your GPS, will take you an hour and a half more with a lot more traffic. If you actually find a shortcut, actually the GPS goes from an hour to 45 minutes. I always think that you have a GPS, you always try to beat against the GPS. The GPS tells an hour, it's okay. He's not realizing that there is a shortcut somewhere else that could take the hour to 45 minutes. Life are baby steps. If we take the steps in the right direction, then the Beis Hamikdash gets built. Our Churban leads all the way to our Gei Beitar, and us, step by step, little step by little step, that is how Geula gets brought. Because the right step brings our entire feedback of challenges, which are also man-made, but if they're done in the right way, they're easier and more powerful to take to the next step. And that's the avoda that we have. That's what Chazal say, peacefully Pesach Yehuda Shalmachar, v'niftach lachem Pesach Yehuda Kiyula Kipitcha Shalolam. Open a small way for Hashem, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will allow you to be brought much more. Once you make a first baby step, everything else will fall into place. And don't just finalize the going. I think this groin, I mentioned several times, that's a very important groin. He says on the Shmoneser, we say, Mishan u'miftach l'tzadikim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a rest, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the trust of the tzadikim. What's the double lotion? Mishan u'miftach l'tzadikim. So the going says this idea in Megillah Sester. And he says, the midness of Megillah Sester of Purim, Purim in the Tchias HaMeisim, is the opposite of Tisha B'Av. Is the day that we're able to actually conquer it, to be able to succeed. But if you look at the Nes of Purim, also has two steps. The first step is Mordechai gets this miracle that they remember what he did, and he's brought into the city. Kacha yaseh la'ish asher melech chofetz bikoroi. And the second step is the Gula. So why do we need that intermediate step, which is so important? Mordechai got all this covered. What's necessary? So says the Goyim, you know why? Because in life it's very hard to make a big decision. To make a bitochin HaKadosh Baruch Hu, trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is so needed, is very, very difficult. But we needed a small step. Once we do a small step that we could see a little bitochin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us feedback. Always there is a feedback. So we gave a little step of trust in Him in the worst times that we went through. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave a feedback, which was more the Chayotza B'toichayir. And when we see that Mordechai gets all this covered, that gave us even more reason to have bitochin. So what we created became a reason to go up and to have not a small bitochin, but a big bitochin. And the big bitochin brought the Geula. Says the Groin, you always give a baby step. But in the world of feedback, you give a small step, right away there's a feedback. That feedback allows you to take a bigger step later. We did a small step of bitochin. He brought a nes to Mordechai. But that nes to Mordechai inspired us. That inspired us. It led us to the next step. Says the Brisker Rav, that's what says the apostle, Kaveh Hashem. Give the first step, trust on Him. Chazak ve'yametz libecha. And you should know HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give you a lot of more reasons. Because this will create a feedback. And this will create a whole new challenge, new set of occurrences, of challenges, that will allow you to Kavel Hashem Chazak v'yametz libecha, and that will lead to an even greater Kavel Hashem. Shem Hashem help us. That the same way that the Churban was brought by wrong choices compounding each other, we should take upon ourselves today and take small steps. If we take small steps, the system of feedback who allow us to go ahead and to build upon it. And that's why we say in the Slicha, Unecheinu beYosher Magal. We ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please lead us in the right path. Yosher is in the right, and the word Magal is a path, but the Magal means circle. We ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we live in a world of circles, that everything is mishapois. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, allow us to go in the shortest path possible. Unecheinu beYosher Magal. And beYosher Magal, to have the line which is closer to straight as possible, is by making small right choices, and the right choices compounded the big choices.
You have been listening to a presentation of BensTorah.com.